God said, I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. And he does this through his Holy Spirit. In John 14:26, Jesus told us, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and he will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. He is able to teach us all things through Bible studies like this one, you guys know that, and teaching on the radio and the internet, through our own personal study time, through friends, through circumstances. God has unlimited resources in this day and age in which we live to put his word in our mind and in our hearts. We live in a wonderful time. We can listen to the Bible anytime. He not only teaches us, but he also can bring a verse to our mind through his Spirit. And he does that personally and sometimes through other people. Why does God want to put his laws in our minds and write them on our hearts? I think the most important reason, and you probably thought of this when you were doing your lesson, is because then we will have them with us always. Everywhere we go, we'll have God's word with us, if it's in our mind and in our hearts. Psalm 119 also answers that question. In that one chapter, we are told that it keeps us from sin. In Psalm 119:11, we are told, your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. It opens our eyes. It gives us counsel. There was a time where I needed some serious counsel, and I only had the Word of God, but it was all that I needed. It revives us. It teaches us. It gives us understanding. In Psalm 119:130, we are told, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. It strengthens us, it enlarges our heart, it gives us hope, it comforts us, it convicts us, it gives us wisdom, and it gives us direction. In Psalm 119:105, most of you know this verse very well, your word is a light, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It gives us joy and it gives us truth. In Psalm 119:160, we are told, the entirety of your word is truth. All of God's word is truth. It gives us peace. Psalm 119:165 tells us, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. God's word delivers us, and it helps us. And this is just a small portion of what Psalm 119 tells us about God's word. There are actually 176 verses in Psalm 119. And if you haven't read it all the way through, looking at what God's word will do for you, I would really encourage you to do that. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, we are told that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's word gives us everything we need. And the more we read and meditate and study God's word, the more equipped we are for life and ministry and for others. One of the gifts that I have asked God for is the gift of prophecy. And when you have that gift, he can bring a scripture to your mind when you're in the middle of praying with someone or counseling someone or discipling or mentoring someone. And one of the ways I remember the scriptures is that I think I've shared with you, when I'm doing my lesson, I write out the entire scripture that we're going over. And that helps. Plus, listening to a lot of Bible studies keeps those scriptures going through. Pastor Chuck used to say repetition, repetition, right? And we know those verses because he taught them over and over again. In order for the Holy Spirit to bring it to our mind, obviously it has to be there. And we do that by studying God's word and by memorizing it. And by meditating on it, which means we're actually thinking about what we're reading, and by listening to someone else read the Bible. I was sharing with a friend the fact that the more we read God's word, the more we love it, and the more we love him. It's different than physical appetite. If we read God's word, we want more. But if we don't read God's word, we lose our desire for it. We start losing our desire for spiritual things. And that's really a dangerous place to be, I can tell you personally. Charles Stanley said this, do you delight in the Bible? That's a challenging question because the answer is revealed by our actions. Christians want to delight in God and His Word, but our schedules often indicate a different reality. Time spent alone with the Lord in His Word and prayer is crucial to the Christian life. If we neglect it, the delights of the world will quickly fill our mind and capture our heart, drowning out the desire for God. Then instead of time with Him being a priority, it will become an afterthought. I just thought of something I wasn't planning on sharing, but the Lord keeps bringing it to my mind, so I guess I have to share. I was just reminded as we're reading this that if we don't read God's Word, it becomes kind of an afterthought if we don't make it a priority. And sometimes, have you ever started to sit down and read, and you see the TV and you think, it'd be really fun to watch a Hallmark movie or something. I'll just watch one, and then I'll get back to God's Word. But what happens? We get so drawn into it that the desire for God's Word leaves. That's how it happens. And it's not to be legalistic. It's okay to watch Hallmark movies. I love them. But we just have to be aware that that's how it happens. If we want to grow in Christ, we must become like a tree firmly rooted by the river of God's Word. That's where we are nurtured and refreshed, and it's what's required in order to have a spiritually fruitful life. And as we get to know the Lord, our love for Him will increase. How do we develop a love for God's Word? My friend had the answer. She said this, "I do love God's Word. I have made a commitment to read God's Word every day for the rest of my life. I get up early enough so that I can spend time in the Word before I start my day. I've asked the Lord to grow my love for His Word more and more, and He has answered that prayer. I continue to pray that prayer often. I want to get deeper and deeper in the Scriptures." She spends time reading her Bible, and she asks God to grow her love in His Word. Now, He will answer that prayer. And how do I know that? Because we are told in John 14:14, Jesus is actually speaking here, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." And that means if we ask anything according to His will, He will do it. And it is His will that we spend time in His Word. Again, Jesus Himself said in Matthew 4:4, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." You may need to ask Him to give you the time to read, especially if you have small children. That is a really difficult time. But in the meantime, you can get all the teaching you need on the radio or the internet. Radio while you're driving the kids someplace, or on the internet. You can listen to a message while you're cooking dinner or getting ready for work. There are actually Bible programs where you have the option, you probably know this, to have someone read the Scriptures to you. And I think that if it is a challenge to find the time to read to ourselves, we can all find the time to listen to someone else read to us, right? Ask God to help you find ways to spend more time in His Word. Again, He will answer that prayer. Charles Stanley went on to say, "Many people wish they loved God more, and time alone with Him in His Word is the key. Furthermore, as our love for God increases, both He and His Word will become our delight." Which brings us to God's next "I will" in that passage. "I will be their God, and they shall be my people." God Himself has made a way for us to have a personal relationship with Him. God Himself. And He did it through His Son, Jesus. He wants us to have an intimate, personal relationship, and He wants to have that with you and with me. In 2 Corinthians 6:18, we are told, "I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." God Himself wants to be our Father. So what kind of Father is He? The Bible tells us that He is holy and long-suffering and merciful, that He loves us unconditionally, that He will never hurt us, that He protects us, provides for us, and that He's only good. He's only good. In Exodus 33, Moses asked God, "Please show me your glory." And God's response was this, "I will make all my goodness pass before you." He's a good, good Father, the song says. That's who He is. and we're loved by him. That's who we are. Do you know him that way? Do you know him as a good father? You know, as I was writing this, I remembered a time that I was not able to use the word father when I prayed. And it was because I didn't know him that way as well as I should, but I'm sure it had something to do with my own father. But I do pray that now because I do know him that way, and he is a good father. Do you know that God is for you? Psalm 56:9 and Romans 8:31 tells us that he is. Do you know how much he loves you? If there was only one verse in the Bible that told us how much he loves us, it would be enough. And that is John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know his voice? We are told in 1 Kings 19:12 that it is a still, small voice. And in order to hear it, we have to be still. Have you heard it? How incredible it is that God, through his Holy Spirit, will take the time and care to speak at us, to speak to us at a moment when we need it the most. He knows exactly when to speak to us in that still, small voice. Sometimes it's through his word. Sometimes it's through another person. But sometimes it's through his spirit. Do you know his touch? We are told in his word that it heals and brings comfort. And as I was writing this, I thought of the song, "He Touched Me." And oh, the joy that fills my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. You know when you've been touched by God, there is nothing like it. We have been given the incredible opportunity to have a relationship with a living God and Jesus, his Son, and to hear his voice through his Holy Spirit. How amazing is that? Do we sometimes forget how amazing that is? Do we take it for granted that he's available to us anytime we are ready to talk to him? I know I do. And this lesson made me think more of that, of what a privilege it is to speak to him. God wants to spend time with us, and the more time we spend with him, just like with any other relationship, the more we will get to know him. In John 17:3, we are told, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Knowing him more is my heart's desire, and I hope and pray that it is every one of yours' desires too. That's not grammatically correct. That's yours too. I really do. God gave me a prayer many years ago, and I may have shared it with you because it's one of my favorite things. "Make my heart love you more than anyone or anything else. Let nothing possess my heart where only you should be." I had someone question that prayer once, that God could not make our hearts do anything because we had a free will. And we do have a free will. But my response was this, and this was totally from the Lord, because I was really taken aback by that question. I said, "Whose heart is it? If it belongs to him, won't he answer that prayer?" My friend recently shared this with me. "I pray continually that he would increase my desire to know him, to draw me nearer and nearer to him, and he answers my prayer. I do want him more and more. I wake up with a prayer in my mind, talking to him all the time. It is so precious to me. He is always with me, and my conversations with him are ongoing and never end." Her words reminded me of the song in the garden. "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known." Because of the new covenant, we can talk to God himself about anything, anytime. So how often do we talk to him? Some of us all day long, like my friend. Some of us not as much as we should. And some of us only in a crisis. I know there was a time in my life where I only cried out to God when I was in trouble. And yet he still answered. Isn't he good? Our Father wants to have a close relationship to us, and he wants us to walk with him and talk with him all day long. He has given us the privilege of drawing near to him anytime, anywhere, and he's always available. Will we purpose in our hearts to walk with him and talk with him more than we do right now? Will we ask him to make our hearts love him more than anyone or anything else? He will answer that prayer. God's next "I will" is found in verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. I think I've shared with you that if I could choose only one word to describe who Jesus is to me, it would be mercy. Because mercy means we don't get what we deserve. In the New Living Translation, it also says, and I will forgive their wickedness. God, in his great mercy, does not give us what we deserve. He forgives every sin we have ever committed if we will believe and accept what Jesus did on the cross for us. And it doesn't matter what we've done, he will forgive us. When one of my friends heard this for the very first time, that God would forgive every sin she had ever committed and every bad thing she had ever done, which there had been a few, and all that she had to do was invite Jesus into her heart to become her Savior, she said she got up and ran down that aisle and said, I want that. Have you ever thought you were too bad to be forgiven by God? That's a lie from Satan. There was a time when I believed I had committed such a horrible sin that I wasn't even saved. But the truth in 1 John 1:9 eventually set me free. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. In addition to his mercy, he gives us grace. And grace means getting what we don't deserve. God made a new covenant using the precious blood of his only son to remove our sins forever. And he gives us what we don't deserve, eternal life. In Ephesians 1:7, we are told, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And if forgiveness isn't enough, in verse 12, God tells us, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. I like the New Living Translation, and I will never again remember their sins. In Isaiah 43:25, we are told, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions or sins for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. We remember our sins because Satan makes sure of it, and he tells us that God will not forgive you for that sin. But what does Romans 8:1 tell us? There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. God does not condemn us, Satan does. When God tells us, I will not remember your sins, it means he will not ever bring them up again. Isn't that an awesome thing? We can write mercy and grace over every sin we've ever committed, and we can write forgiven and forgotten. God will never bring it up again. He will never hold it against us because Jesus paid it all and it is finished. And as I was preparing this message, I kept thinking that God goes to such great lengths to have a relationship with us and to make sure we get into heaven. He guaranteed the new covenant would work by putting the burden of responsibility on himself. He said, I will make a new covenant. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. I will never again remember their sins. And then he sealed the covenant with the precious blood of Jesus. I also thought about how he continues to go to great lengths daily to keep us from sin and to forgive us when we fail. I don't know your story, but mine is that the Lord has pursued me my whole life. And he's forgiven many failures. And he has gone to very great lengths to get me to this place. He never gave up on me. He left the 99 more than once to get me back where I should be. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And that, of course, is Lamentations 3:22 and 23. We will always receive his mercy. It will never run out. It is new every morning. So what will we do in response to everything he's done for us? Will we listen to or read his word and let him put it in our minds and write it on our hearts? Will we cherish and value the great privilege we have of knowing God himself? And will we invest the time to know him more? And will that be our highest priority? Will we walk with him and talk with him? Will we thank him for his great mercy? And will we believe that he's forgiven all of our sins? Will we be set free from any condemnation the enemy throws at us? By believing what God has told us, I will not remember your sins. Will we continually thank him and praise him for going to such great lengths to make certain that we could spend eternity with him? Such great lengths. If you're feeling overwhelmed right now or convicted, do not be. Because in Philippians 2:13 we are told, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." He puts the burden of responsibility on himself. The Holy Spirit will not only give us the desire to spend more time in his word and to know him more and to walk in his forgiveness, but he will also give us the power to do it. It's all up to God to do it in us and through us. He doesn't leave it up to us. After all he has done for us, what is our "I will" to him? C.T. Studd said this, "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him." And Paul said this in Romans 12:1, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." If he is our God and we are his people, our life belongs to him and our heart belongs to him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your new covenant. Thank you for going to such great lengths to make sure we would spend eternity in heaven with you. And please create a desire in our hearts to spend more time in your word and to spend more time with you. Give us a desire to know you more and help us to remember to write "forgiven and forgotten" over every sin in our past and every sin in our future. And Father, will you please make our hearts love you more than anyone or anything else, and let nothing possess our hearts where only you should be. In Jesus' name, amen.